So the book is definitely designed to make the learning of music as a notation, as a language, and in particular the learning of the violin or a string instrument, fun. And it's also about relevance. I mean, we live in an age where there's less time for everything. Parents have very hectic schedules. Children are, in fact, already having schedules themselves. They're going to school. They have extracurricular activities. So practicing becomes an art form. And I have tried in this book to simplify it in a language that is clear, but that retains the sort of professional attitude, yeah, in the sense of you might as well do it properly.
There's also the element of discipline because, let's be honest, most kids, if you put a list of what they have or haven't got, lack of discipline would be pretty high up, you know. So to practice takes discipline. I know that was my biggest problem, is I love the piano,
yeah,
and I taught the piano, or I was taught the piano, but I never practiced that one. So question about the violin. You know, when you hit a note on the piano, even like if you have never played, you'll pretty much hear a true note. But with the violin, it's, you know, it can often sound like a cat scraping across a blackboard, you know.
Yeah.
Is the violin an especially challenging instrument to teach?
I don't know if it's challenging to teach. I can't answer that question because I really enjoy teaching. I have a lot of fun with it. And my students seem to enjoy it. They stick around, you know. But I would suggest that the violin and possibly the piano are the most difficult instruments to learn from the classical music end of things. They're very complex instruments, and there's no kidding about it. I mean, learning them at a young age helps the muscles to remember and retain memory.
How young would you do you recommend that a student should start?
It's very individual. The youngest students I've seen are around the age of 3. Now, those are children who are able to speak. They are obviously able to carry themselves well. And yes, you can teach music at that age, no problem at all. And you can definitely make it fun. Personally, I would suggest that if you want to learn the violin, starting at the age of 8, 9, or 10 is leaving it very late. You're basically saying, I love music, I want to become a very good amateur. But you're not leaving the chances open to really be in a position where at the age of 18 you can go, am I going to go to university or am I going to go to college of music? As I say, it's very individual. And with this book as well, it's clear. I mean, the way I've outlined this book, it would be an average learning curve of 2 years. So there are elements of the book that would aid teachers themselves. People teaching an instrument would, I think, pick up a couple of ideas from this book, because it's all about, you know, appealing to the imagination, about getting children involved. Practicing doesn't have to be a struggle.
I was going to ask you about the imagination. One of the things I liked very much just looking through the book is that there's flights of fancy throughout. Like the violin is referred to at one point as an aeroplane. There's so many different ways of looking at the actual technical elements of, you know, stringing the bow across the violin. Is that the key, is to make the kids realise that, look, you know, yes, you're going to practice, but practicing doesn't have to be this kind of pedantic, repetitive horror show that it is for so many people.
Yeah, that's definitely the idea. I think that essentially, put very bluntly, if you tell a child that on Sunday coming, they have to eat ice cream, they must. They have to have at least, you know, 3 kind of moments of that day where they have to eat ice cream, they will refuse. You say it's the same with anything. If you make them do something and they have the impression that they are being forced into something, it's not going to happen. And I don't believe in force. I don't think it's going to work in at any level of learning, be that at school, at home, or in music. It's possible to make repetitive exercises exciting by literally taking the idea of repetition out of it.
Let's say, for example, you have a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old in your class, and can you tell at a very early age how good or how potentially good they could be? Or can you go, look, you know, music really isn't for you? Or you might tell the parents this? Or
you can, yes, you can tell.
Really?
You can tell very quickly from any human being, particularly children, because they are not in a position yet to hide themselves. A 20-year-old can hide, particularly if they're psychologically aware, they can hide elements of their character and personality to an assessor. you know.
That's very interesting.
A child will be less likely to hide. Yeah. They simply don't have the tools and experience yet of life in that sense to do it. So yes, you can assess fairly quickly what the musical potential is. Certainly when it comes at a later stage of choosing the actual instrument, you can definitely aid and help families to bring a child into the right contact with the right instrument for them. Because a child may hate the saxophone but love percussion. And if you force them into saxophone playing for 10 years, they might lose that thrill.
That's what happened to me with the clarinet. I was forced into it. No, I wasn't. I thought the clarinet would be a good instrument for me. Other story. Gwendolyn, your own, I mean, you're a violin virtuoso, you're a concert violinist. When did you know yourself that this was something that you wanted to do professionally?
Very early on.
Really?
Yeah, very early on. I was performing concerts already fairly soon after I started. And I was performing with orchestras at a very early age. And I was performing concerts, you know, so-called recitals, where you would play, let's say, an hour and a half of pure music on my own. So I was carrying these sort of concerts on my own, and I loved being on stage. I can't say that I always adored practicing. It would be a lie to suggest that practicing, you know, oh, brilliant. But yeah, being on stage and making music and sharing music with a wider audience to me was a very natural thing.
Is there any plan to transpose the book for other instruments? Or sorry, to, you know, to obviously not make it just about teaching the violin.
Well, this particular book that we're looking at is aimed, as I said, in particular to violin playing, but it can be and has been used in conjunction with other string instruments such as the viola. Or the cello, the double bass. There are principles of violin playing, left and right hands, that simply hold true for all the other members of the string family. And I'm personally familiar with piano teachers and with two flute teachers who have used this book because of the way I describe the process of learning things by heart, of reading music, of practicing again. I don't have plans personally to make it directly contextual for another book. At the end of the day, I'm a violin player, and that's what I know.
Okay, well, Gwendolyn Mason, the book again is Michaela's Music House, The Magic of the Violin, and it's a fantastic manual indeed. And if you are interested as a parent in getting your kid to learn the violin, this is certainly a very good way to start. Gwendolyn, thanks very much for talking to us on Culture Shock.
Thank you.